Hello and welcome to the latest special edition of MFC Podcast. Tonight, myself and Andrew Patterson are going to look back in the career of one of the real greats of Scottish football, Davy Cooper. Davy was obviously a star at Clydebank to start off with. He would then go on to achieve great success at Ibrox with Rangers before joining Motherwell in 1989. At Motherwell, he excelled in claret and amber. He finished off his career with another spell at Clydebank before tragically passing away in 1995. Yesterday marked the 25th anniversary of Davy's death, and today we're going to remember him, and in particular remember his time at Fir Park. Andy, welcome along, mate.
Thank you. Nice to be able to come back and discuss such an influential figure in our relatively recent history.
Yes, absolutely. He's a man that's remembered so fondly. By, I think, fans of Scottish football, Andy, would you think that's fair to say?
Yeah, I would think so. I think there's I think in most cases, whenever someone passes away prematurely, a lot of the times where there's maybe a bitterness there, an element of rivalry kind of seeps away to some extent. And I think that's very much been the case with Davy. I think there's a kind of certainly a lot of respect over the old firm divide in terms of the rest of Scottish football. People just appreciated that he was a fantastically talented player, as was demonstrated throughout the whole of his kind of 25-year career.
I mentioned that Davy arrived at Fir Park in the summer of 1989. Can you remember the reaction to the signing of someone that was such a big figure in the Scottish game? He's widely regarded as Tommy McLean, or perhaps even Motherwell's greatest ever signing. £50,000 spent on such a talent. What was your reaction at the time?
Yes and no. No, because I was away at BB Camp in Jersey at the time, and we were making our way home. So it was kind of news. It wasn't in the times where there were mobile phones and such like, and it was like the odd call to Motherwell club call or checking in with grandparents or what have you to find on. So I was a wee bit behind the curve in finding out that he'd actually signed for us. Quite quickly though, we found out just how big a signing it was. We had put in the context of where we were at the time. It was quite funny because, like, in years after, you used to get the kind of player profiles and match programmes, and for about three seasons, there used to be the same kind of profile, seemed to go from club to club, programme to programme, and he was always entitled to duel in the Motherwell crown. And in fairness, it was a pretty accurate summing up. Whenever he kind of signed, there was a lot of excitement. I seem to remember his debut was at Kilmarnock in the League Cup. And I think we took a healthy support down that night, and he played pretty well. And it just kind of kicked on from there.
Yeah, it certainly did. And his first season, he seemed to drive on not only the team as a whole, but the young players seemed to begin to really be inspired by him. Phil O'Donnell's one that will obviously be mentioned, and I'm sure he'll be mentioned over the course of this podcast quite a few times. He just had that influence, and it was the driving force of Tommy McLean's side, wasn't he?
Absolutely. I think you need to sort of see the kind of progression that the club made. And he was one of these players that it wasn't just on the park that he made the difference, it was off it as well. If we kind of go back a few years, and whenever we get promoted, we obviously managed to stay in the division through reconstruction. And it was a period of progression throughout that latter part of that decade. And Tommy McLean obviously built a team that he believed would keep us up in the division. And it was a result at Ibrox, October, maybe 86, 87, round about that kind of time, and Cooper might well have been involved with Rangers that day, I can't actually remember, but we won at Ibrox, and the reputation that Motherwell got that day from doing a smash and grab against Rangers, the media just simply wouldn't allow it. This couldn't be done as soon as he's all-conquering revolution. And from there on in, our reputation was one of a dour dismal, negative, smash and grab team. And it wasn't always the case. A signing of someone of the calibre of Davy Cooper just completely changed our reputation. The things had been building nicely throughout the latter part of the decade, with an awful kind of start to the season before he arrived. But from about November on, there was a bit of momentum being built, and his signing just took it on. From suddenly we being everybody's relegation candidates, suddenly we were like chasing Europe. We were playing great, attractive football with guys like Arnott round about him, Cusack immediately flourishing. Of course, we went on, it would be Tom Boyd who would benefit immensely from his presence in the team. Latterly, Rob McKinnon was another who benefited, and as you say, Phil O'Donnell as well. But he gave a lift to his teammates, and many of them have spoken, some of them in the podcast as well, they've done so, just how much a lift, how much they appreciated his talents, how much he could lift the team, how much he could lift the support. But again, going back to that off the park, how much of a profile he suddenly brought to the club as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That first season, Motherwell finished sixth on the table, but they were only 1 point off European qualification. Dundee United finished in fourth spot. Davy also received international recognition in the back of his performances from Motherwell. Now, it's kind of a bit of a cliche, and I use it quite a lot in this podcast, that the Motherwell fans don't feel that Motherwell players get international recognition that they possibly should do. Davy had obviously dropped out of the Scotland setup, and then his performances with Motherwell propelled him back into the reckoning. That shows the impact that he made.
He did. He came back, final qualifier, I think it was, against Norway at Hampden. And I think we drew that evening.
Yeah, that's right. It was a 1-1 draw.
Yep. And that was enough to qualify. It's actually one of the sad points of his kind of career at Fir Park, the way that he didn't get the chance to play in another finals in Italy the following year. I will remember the involvement that he had in the build-up to it. I think he got an injury against Egypt. I believe it was the game that actually kind of ruled him out of the finals. But I remember not having seen a Motherwell player play for Scotland on STV News, and the kind of squad were taking over as part of preparation, if I remember rightly, to Genoa and being introduced to the game. I don't know whether it was Sampdoria or whether it was Genoa who were playing at the time, but introduced in the big screen, and it was one of those kind of moments that sticks in my head. Davy Cooper, Motherwell FC in Scotland. It's just such a sad end to his international career that he never actually got the chance to play in those finals, and who knows what difference his involvement would have made.
Yeah, it's such a shame that from playing in the friendly against Egypt at Pittodrie, it looked for all the world that he was going to be to go into the World Cup as a Motherwell player. Tommy Coyne obviously did that 4 years later, but it was cruelly snatched from Davy. Though he was able to continue his form domestically in the following season, the 90-91 season will be remembered forever by Motherwell supporters. But let's focus on the league first and foremost. Again, the club had finished sixth, but there was many excellent performances over the course. I'm going to fast forward to the penultimate game of that season and the 3-0 victory over Rangers at Fir Park. That, again, a Rangers team that were all conquering, absolutely destroyed.
That was quite an afternoon in many respects. Important to remember as well that he had also scored against Rangers earlier on in the season. So, although for his length of service, the fact that he supported Rangers, no one can dispute his association with the Ibrox side in any way. He wasn't one of these players that had against another team, be it one of his boyhood heroes. He had scored earlier in the season against them at Fir Park, and he was involved in quite a momentous afternoon that day. I think we were all kind of quite stunned. We were in the crest of a wave. Everybody was ready to buy their tickets and for the final. We had that to look forward to 2 weeks later, and suddenly you're you're in the midst of another team potentially winning the title on your own ground, and there we go, we smashed them 3-0, and what a day that was.
Do you think that he reserved some of his best performances for games against Rangers, given the fact that he did leave, and I don't want to say sour terms, but certainly he had been frozen out somewhat?
I think that would be fair. I think there was a feeling, certainly as an outsider, there was a feeling that if there was a comparable Scottish player that was on the books at Rangers, and there was someone that could be brought in of a similar level from England or abroad, then the glamour of the incoming signing from elsewhere always seemed to take precedence. And whilst he was involved in title wins at Ibrox, some momentous performances under Souness, you're right, I think that he faded, and his true worth wasn't appreciated. I think he was considered maybe past it, if that's maybe a bit harsh, at Ibrox. But we certainly benefited from the kind of rejuvenation that he had, the feeling of being involved again on a week in, week out basis. We certainly benefited from it. Did he reserve some of his best performances? I don't know so much. Certainly big games, I would say. There's some great performances he had against Celtic as well. Again, perhaps he's inspired by the fact that they were, the rivals of his boyhood heroes. But I can remember him being involved in victories at Parkhead. I remember him absolutely destroying Anton Rogan one afternoon in the fog at Fir Park. So by no manner of means were some of his, did he reserve these kind of displays only whenever we happened to face Rangers?
Let's have a look at the cup run, and we'll start off with the victory at Pittodrie. Obviously, Cooper's over the free kick. You're expecting that it's going to be Davy Cooper that takes that free kick. He simply rolls the ball to Stevie Kirk, who absolutely leathers the ball home. Motherwell defeat the cup holders on their own patch in the third round. It's a dream start to a Scottish Cup campaign. And it's a Scottish Cup campaign littered with Davy Cooper moments.
Yep, that's right. He played his part. Certainly he would get the assist that afternoon. He gave Falkirk quite a torrid afternoon as well, if I recall. We came to Morton and we'd to benefit from his experience and that of the likes of Bobby Russell alongside him. Ian Ferguson too, when he came to the penalty shootout. And I'm sure whilst he, unfortunately, I think it was injury that prevented him playing in the semi-finals, it would have been invaluable in helping a number of players at Fir Park that might not have played in too many semi-finals, certainly not with Motherwell anyway, to get through those matches against Celtic. And of course they had a key input into the winning goal when it came to the final itself at Hampden.
How much of a feat was it that Davy Cooper played the duration of those 120 minutes in a absolutely emotionally draining match, never mind the physicality element of it?
I think you only need to look back at I think it's when Ali McCoy's does the summariser, and he's almost at the point where he's laughing at the fact that Cooper's made it so far. But I think we need to remember it wasn't just a massive win for Motherwell, the Scottish Cup. It was one that Davy Cooper wanted as well. I mean, one of the stories I recollect him saying or being said of him was his desperation to be involved in an open-top bus tour, having won something that was generally denied to any of the Old Firm sides whenever they won a competition or a tournament. So there was motivation there for him to win, to just to prove that if there was anything in terms of his exit from Rangers, that here he was, he could still offer something, here he was still winning trophies. But it's certainly for a kind of forward player, a veteran, to have lasted the full 90 minutes and extra time, it's quite an achievement in its own. But to still be able to come up with the winning ball at the end of it, or the winning assist from his ball that came across at the end of it, have to give him immense credit for that.
And the scenes after the match, it was clear how much winning the Scottish Cup with Motherwell meant to Davy Cooper. The delight's etched right across his face. A very special moment. And the way that he spoke, you're right, Andy, he mentions the fact that it was up there with anything that he won in his career. That's a testament to the man, and also his place in the team. He was obviously, as I've already mentioned, the driving force. He was the experienced head. And to be able to guide a team and inspire a team to such great glories are obviously our last major trophy. It really can't be underestimated.
That's right. I mean, it's a facet of Tommy McLean's kind of managerial skills that there were a number of players like him. I kind of think one of his best attributes was being able to squeeze something out of players that other teams had thought were done. I can think of like Tom McAdam, who came, he couldn't win a contract with Hamilton Accies, having been released by Stockport, I think it was. McLean gets 100 games out of him, and he brings along the likes of Chris McCart, who helps him develop. Fraser Wishart as well, another young defender that would have benefited from his presence. And Cooper was one of those as well, that giving the player an opportunity to prove others wrong, to give them that opportunity playing week in, week out again, and demonstrate that they still have a worth, have a value, can still contribute, giving players that platform. And you know, Cooper took that opportunity to the full.
David went on and played the duration of the following season as well. He would feature in Motherwell's Cup Winners' Cup ties against Katowice, and they had 2-0 defeat over in Poland, took them back to Fir Park, and so narrowly edged out, win the game 3-1, exit the competition away goals. A bit of a Motherwell type start to European football, I guess.
It wasn't the most memorable. It wasn't, to be fair. I think everybody was just immensely excited to be involved in Europe. It ultimately presented a lot of difficulties both for the club and for the supporters, and you know, it's a tragedy that so many of us saw so little of the game, some not at all. What was our debut in European competition. And that seemed to typify the season. It wasn't a particularly great season at all. And it was one of those ones that was quite close here. Could have been, luck had went different ways. We could have had a different kind of season. And that Katowice game just encompassed that. Great to think that you'd something like about 12,000 at the home game, if I remember rightly. Pretty good crowd. Our first home European game, and it's one of those ones that the away goal killed us. And you think maybe another 5-10 minutes, if the game had went on that wee bit more, we could have done the necessary, get the last goal. But immensely proud to see us play in Europe, even if we did fall at the first hurdle.
And that would obviously be Davy's final venture in European football. Is certainly created quite a legacy for himself during his time at Rangers in European competitions. A bit of a sour note to go out on, but again, well into his late 30s and continuing to play a regular role in the team. I keep on using the word understated, but his role was just, he was just so pivotal, wasn't he?
Time would prove that his presence, could to go back to the development, the impact he had in other players. He was one of the guys that saw the transition from the end of the cycle, where we kind of came from being relegation candidates to a solid top flight team, to winning the Scottish Cup, playing in Europe. And he was there at the starting point and had an impact in a number of the players that saw us rebuild for a few years later, when ultimately we finished runners-up in third place and get back into Europe, although he wasn't actually there at the time. You see his efforts kind of come to fruition, sadly. But he played his part in seeing that transition coming through. Although the 91-92 season was pretty poor, he helped develop Rob McKinnon into an international player. He helped Brian Martin become an international player. these were guys that emerged, came to the club through that season. He saw Jamie Dolan go from a fringe player to develop into that team. Phil O'Donnell obviously went on and became a record sale. And they're all touched by Cooper's influence and went on to have, you know, terrific careers at Fir Park and some of them beyond.
After what was quite a difficult season, the 91-92 season, 92-93 was even more difficult, a real struggle at the bottom of the table. Andy, Davy, in his final season, or his final full season at Fir Park, again played a big role. He was coaching off the park as well. He was assisting with the reserve team and some of the youth sides as well. But a big goal against Celtic towards the tail end of that season proved to be very, very important when it came to keeping Motherwell in the top flight.
That's right. Again, another example where his experience came to the fore. We were in really kind of dodgy territory leading up to Christmas that season, and we get a huge slice of luck. So if you can recollect the game against Falkirk, where there was all sorts of shenanigans went on, about a quick throw in, and we get back into a game we were losing that, and 1-3-1, and it seemed to sort of turn the tide for us that season. We beat Falkirk, who ultimately we would send down in the penultimate game of the season. The following weekend, we went to Airdrie and had a rare but very welcome victory against them, and we followed that up going on. In the latter part of the season, we managed to beat both of those in the penultimate and final game of the season to stay up. The last one was particularly satisfying, because if there was one team or group of players to correct that caused Cooper grief, it was the Harps and Airdrie contingent, the Masters of the Black Harps. And he did see me struggle against the likes of Walter Kidd and Sanderson, and, you know, those that were just Kenny Black's another one that comes to mind. So it was particularly satisfying. We'd managed to stay up, and we went to Airdrie in the final game of the season, and he managed to bow out with a performance and a win against them. Again, his experience was there. There were some vital wins that we had to take care of going into that one. The Celtic one was the one that you mentioned. There was a victory at Broughtville where he was involved in as well, and kind of helped us home. So even though the team weren't firing on all cylinders at all times, again, his experience was there. It was vital, and he played his part in helping us retain our top flight place for another season, which would then go on to be one of the best that we've had, and Tommy McLean's last season at Fir Park.
Yeah, and in December of that season, the 93-94 season, Davy would rejoin his first club, Clyde Bank, as a player coach. His departure, by this point, he was playing a lesser role in terms of playing first team football, but given the impact that he had made over those 4.5 years, it came as a huge loss to the football club.
Yeah, I think it's right and proper that when someone gives you the service that he did, and bearing in mind again that some felt when he came to Fir Park, he was just winding down to have played those seasons in a side that won the Scottish Cup, that played in Europe, that were rebuilding to get there. I think the club did right by him, allowing him to move on to continue pretty much what he did whenever he came to Motherwell and playing football regularly again. So that was perfectly reasonable in my eyes. We had made a fantastic start to that season, and the likes of, you know, Tommy Coyne had come to the club as well. Paul Lambert had arrived earlier in the season, and with goal scorers like Arnott, McGrillan, were kind of finding the net for us as well. So it seemed the right time. The team were flying on the park, and it seemed a good thing to do to let them move on. Of course, it wasn't too long before he came back in the colours of Clyde Bank, following season.
Yeah, that would be in the League Cup tie, wasn't it? Mother won that game 3-1, but I can't honestly remember the reaction that Davey got on that day. I was still quite young, but I'm led to believe that he got a fantastic reception.
That's right. That would have been one of Alex McLeish's earliest games in charge. Yep, it would have been back. In all honesty, I can't actually remember the reception that he got that night myself, but I'm sure it would undoubtedly had the roof raised for him, given his contribution to the club in the 5 years previous.
Davey's final match as a professional would come for Clydebank in a Scottish Cup replay at Tynecastle. Clydebank lost that match and exited the Scottish Cup. After that, Davey would go on to film some television as a coach. And then tragically, on the 22nd of March 1995, while conducting a coaching session, he suffered a brain hemorrhage and died the following day at hospital. Davey was only 39 at the time. The outpouring of grief that followed from fans across Scotland and well beyond that is something that will remain with me for some time. It was unprecedented at the time in its scale. It shocked me greatly that someone that I'd watched as a very young boy growing up and had idolised had suddenly been taken away from us. For someone like yourself, Andy, that is that wee bit older than me and had watched Davey inspire the club to the Scottish Cup success, it's just such a tragic loss at such a very, very young age.
Yeah, it was difficult one to take. I remember being on the way to Easter Road. I think it was the day before he passed away. And if my memory serves me right, Hibs were in the midst of so many teams were around about then doing some ground reconstruction. So it was a midweek kickoff, and the news kind of broke. I think when we were on the bus heading up, or if not long after we'd arrived, and it didn't feel right to kind of play the game when he was in such a serious condition, and it looked like the way the team played that they weren't in the frame of mind for it either. A number of them would have been teammates with him for a fair period of time as well. And then being at work the next day and, you know, hearing the news and unfortunately he tragically passed away. And I think as a number of occasions have occurred since, the kind of the immediate reaction was that you felt you had to kind of go to the ground and mark it somehow. And I remember going across with some people that I would go to the games with at the time and put down some flowers in the kind of box at what in front of what would be called ultimately the Davey Cooper stand. And very, very kind of surreal. Although he wasn't part of the club at that point, so fresh in the memory, so rich contribution to our achievements of that period, that it was everyone was really stunned by it. Such a great loss, and we have our memories as supporters and such like, but obviously a terrible loss of his family also.
You mentioned the fact that the recently built stand behind the goal was renamed from the North Stand to the Davey Cooper Stand in his honour. Now at Fir Park, you've got facilities such as the Davey Cooper Suite. You've got the Davey Cooper wall where fans can leave messages on inscribed bricks. His presence is very much felt across the ground, including on this branding on the Davey Cooper stand, which has a quote from Walter Smith that says, "God gave Davey Cooper a talent. He would not be disappointed with how it was used." And that's clearly a fantastic quote. And it's such an accurate description of how Davey Cooper's career developed and the magnificent success he achieved, not just at Motherwell, but also in his time at Clydebank and also with Rangers in Scotland.
There was some discussion after the naming of the Cooper stand had been made, that I think it was one of the first of the stands or suites to be named after a former player. And there were some that were of a mind that it was an unfortunate act of timing that led to the naming of the stand, but I think with the passing of time, when we review the contribution that he made, as you rightly say, not only in his time with Motherwell, but throughout Scottish football, that the naming of that stand is fully worthy, fully justified, and it's a nod of the cap in his direction each and every time we go by the stadium and we go and watch our team play.
Just a few years ago, the MFC podcast hosted the 25 greatest post-war players. Davey Wilder, there was many competitions for the top 10, the top 5 even, though Davey absolutely strolled the vote by an incredible amount of votes. Andy, I don't know whether it was your personal pick, but that's another testament to the impact he made in 4.5 years at Fir Park. Voted the best player post-war. So from 1945 onwards, Davey was regarded as the best player to pull on a claret and amber jersey. And absolutely, it's very difficult to argue.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to keep in mind that there's always a kind of bias towards players that we've seen. And we need to remember that he was playing for Motherwell, 30 years ago? And not a lot of the people who perhaps voted for him would have seen him in the flesh playing for Motherwell. So it gives you an indication of how much respect, how well he's regarded from people that have latterly seen highlights, clips on YouTube, old Motherwell games, have been passed down the stories, I've read the books, seen the videos, that the impact that he's made earned on that applaud those plaudits with the Motherwell support at large.
Just to finish us off, we are obviously recording tonight just after the 25th anniversary of Davey's passing. It's quite a harrowing thing to say, but unfortunately, as a football club, we have had to experience real tragedy in the years that have followed, with the deaths of Jamie Dolan, Paul McGrillen, Phil O'Donnell. It's incredibly difficult to consider all that, really, isn't it? So many of Davey's teammates taken away at such a tragically young age.
It's sad that so many. I mean, you consider there must be what, close to about 1,000 appearances for the club between those guys. Can't be far off it with some of them. The volume of player appearances that they made for the club, the contributions that they gave, is pretty tragic stuff.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But I think it would be wrong of us not to finish on a positive note and talk up, just for a final time, Andy, the contribution of Davey Cooper in a Motherwell jersey. We've already talked about what is undoubtedly the highlight of going on and setting up the goal to lift the Scottish Cup. Is there any other standout moment, though, that you can think of that perhaps some supporters will have forgotten, or just an individual moment of a man that brought so much to us?
Yeah, there's a few in his time at Fir Park. Go back to the aforementioned one of Anton Rogan against Celtic. That was great. Absolutely destroyed them. That was one that lingers in the mind. I remember his first goal as well. Whenever he kind of signed for us, I think it was a 3-0 win against Dundee, if I remember rightly. And I used to stand in front of the main stand where the old Claret and Amber Club used to congregate, and for £1, all that stuff. And I was still lingering about those parts. I think it was the last season I was in there. And it was rare, it felt rare, that the kind of main stand actively get involved in proceedings. Yeah, whenever we scored that afternoon, I distinctly recall them up, you know, giving it one Davey Cooper. And that was something quite different. And you knew you were watching something special, and that he was being so appreciated whenever the kind of patrons of the main stand, usually quite reserved as they are, and most occasions were up there giving it big licks. That one was one that sticks in the mind. There was another a few games later as well. It was covered by BBC. I think one of their kind of the rare occasions are those days where you get the main coverage that didn't involve one of the old firm, and it was a 3-2 win against the D-United where they absolutely ran the show that day. I can't remember if he actually got on the score sheet that day, but certainly he was pivotal in our win. There was another occasion a couple of seasons later, back in the day, where the Sunday Mail had a bit of gravitas about it, or maybe not. They used to do the kind of player ratings, and I think he's one of the few that actually got a 10 out of 10 rating for his performance in a, I think it was an early season victory over Aberdeen, if I remember rightly. And the club made, you know, great play in that, with the big 10 numbers in the programme the following home game. So there's certainly been plenty of occasions where he's had an impact. I just think that the overall, though, is the cup win, that he helped us to the Scottish Cup, and yet at the same time we were able to fulfil one of his ambitions and seeing him win the trophy and parade throughout Lanarkshire with 100,000 cheering fans, watching him with the Scottish Cup on the Sunday after the 18th of May 1991.
Yeah, these are absolutely brilliant memories, mate, and as I say, I think that this has been long overdue in terms of just recording and talking about someone that so many of us completely and utterly idolise, someone that contributed so greatly and is so badly missed. I think it's fair to say that there certainly was only one Davy Cooper, and is remembered by all of us in glowing terms. Mate, I would really like to thank you for your time tonight. It's been very enjoyable for someone like myself who is perhaps a bit too young to fully appreciate the talents of Davy Cooper. I've had to watch on in old videos and YouTube and such like. You've very much helped me through with the gaps in my knowledge at points, but I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you.
Not a problem. My pleasure.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll have another couple of specials later on in the week. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
Yep. I pull my covers off my lady in the night to see the cold reaction when she realizes actions have taken to start conversation.
They tell me hope that nearly pulls the strings of most clever little words from the bold little boy in the corner. We love one another. I never asked you to come here, and no one asked you to come here. You're saying words people don't wanna hear. They don't wanna hear. They don't wanna hear. So stop shouting.
A peace of mind that carries tension up the street. The truth can pierce a hole right through the dingy little boat you sailed in on, and the one you go down on.
What an awful way to throw away the day. Your season is colliding with the evil mass of things you're providing. No way you can hide them. No one asked you to come here.
No one asked you to come here.
You're saying words people don't want to hear. We don't want to hear. We don't want to hear. So stop shouting.
see the cold reaction when she realizes actions have taken. To start a conversation.